this guy's ever around anymore. Dave Pezzo, is he with us now? Is that him on
the
phone?
How are you doing, Kevin? Yes, sir.
Ah, great to have you with us. Boy, it's been a while. Is anybody working anymore? Historically, this is kind of the time of year, similar to between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where people take a lot of time off. Has the coronavirus really changed that in America today?
I think to a degree it has, right? People are who can work are, because they're not going, you know, they're not traveling as far. Although I'll tell you, I finally got away for a week last week over the 4th of July to visit some family. And I tell you, there's a lot of people on the road out there. I know that's anecdotal, but I've got lots of data as well to say that that's going on everywhere in the country. Gasoline sales are up. RVs, you can't get them. They're taking a long time to come in. TSA numbers are up. So it is, people are moving. It's just not quite at the rate they were last year. So it is a little different.
All right. You've already got me tempted on one thing, because you and I, we differ on the airlines. Would you agree with all that? And you're going to go, Kevin Miller, you differ with everybody on everything, but.
Well, you do. But anyway, yes, yes. We do differ on that a little bit, yes. I think they're very, very safe, yes.
Sure. So, building upon that, what do you make of American Airlines going back to normal and saying, the fun's over, we're going to fill up to full capacity now, and it's, well, I'm not going to lead the witness, I'm just going to leave it at that right here on KIDO Talk Radio. What do you make of that?
I think it's probably a good idea for them. I do. I think that if people want those seats, they can have them. If they make their own personal choice to go, they can. I'm hopeful that you're not going to see grandma shoved in a middle seat with hacking and coughing people. But once again, I don't think that grandma ought to be on the airplane anytime, period, because more people are struggling with the flu and things like that when they have comorbidities, and age is one of them. So I think traveling in the winter or traveling when there's a pandemic like we have for grandma is not a good idea, period. It never was a good idea, and it's certainly not a good idea now. But for healthy people, I have no issue at all. And it doesn't seem to be that the airlines are lax in their care. We don't hear about flight attendants falling like dead soldiers out there with corona. So I think that they're doing a good job of keeping the airplanes clean, and people are required to wear masks. So I think that if you make a choice, Kevin, you want to go ahead and get that seat, you go ahead and get that seat. I'd like it to be open, but I can't stop somebody from the freedom of flying.
Right, but it is the American public that continues to hear the airlines that one minute they have record profits, and then the next they're crying because they're going bankrupt. And what about the idea of social distancing? I mean, having that seat in between, maybe that makes a difference. Now all of a sudden it doesn't, even though the cases are rising. When we were dealing with less cases, we had the social distancing on the airplanes. To me, this is, I think that the airlines, like everybody else, they're just in it for the money.
Well, I think they're also in it for survival. They really are.
Okay.
And once again, Kevin, you have the option of saying, I don't want that. And if somebody puts a seat there or puts somebody in the seat next to you, you can say, I don't want. So, again, it's just one of those things that I think is a freedom to fly, a freedom of opportunity for us. And I think you and I disagree as well on our approach to this. I don't think it's a good idea at all for us to be focusing all of our attention on the idea that healthy young people can't and shouldn't be spreading it. I think they should. I think we're getting closer to herd immunization, and I think we're doing a great job. We're just not seeing the death rate. The death rate is collapsing even as we're having more positive cases. And I really can't think of anything as we're worried about the second wave or the third or whatever they want to call it, coming back and the possibility of getting kids in school all across the nation is going to be, in my mind, based on the fact that we are seeing no or little deaths, and we're heading that way now. We certainly are seeing very little deaths, and we're seeing less and less people as we crest with some crashing amount of positive cases. It's not a problem for me to see 300 or 400 cases in Idaho or 500. What I don't want to see is us going from 93 to 150 to 250 deaths in a hurry, and we're not. We've been in this 80, 90 range for a long time with literally thousands of people coming up with the coronavirus. This is not bad news to me.
See, I'm not going on the thin ledge there. I think we don't know enough about it. And, you know, you have people, a guy that had no pre-existing conditions. He died at Broadway Star, 41. You've got athletes. But I will bite once again on this apple that you've let out in front of me here, Dave Petzo, on KIDO Talk Radio. Okay. You know,
perfect.
This is Boise State last week. I had a chance to be in on the call. They canceled baseball, and they canceled diving and swimming. You know, Dave Petzo, you and I, we live in the real world. We've been through our ups and our downs. And it's interesting that collegiate athletics has pretty much been spared the realities of economics. And now you have, to their credit, the baseball team saying, we're forever Broncos, and we're going to have a GoFundMe page. And really, the young lady that's the coach of the diving and the swimming team, I mean, she said she'd cut her salary by 50%, cut the travel budget by 8%. This is Channel 7 reporting this, and they still are not going to keep it. Now, the university, to their credit, said, look, we're worried about sustainability, and you might be able to fund a baseball program that, again, from its inception, was going to lose money to begin with. You know, you might get it for year one, but year two or three, it's just not sustainable. And you have universities across the country wondering economically if they're going to be viable, because contrary to Dave Petzo, with all due respect, we're wondering, and the president meeting with folks today, on whether or not there's going to be school back in session. And we'll just start with that one. So, I mean, here you have major budgets being hit. And Kurt Apsey on the call, we've got the story on our website, KIDOTalkRadio.com. You can watch the video. Says, you know, he doesn't know if this is the end of it. Now, Dr. Trump on there, she didn't sound happy at all. It can't be happy. I mean, she probably wishes she stayed in California. This is a crisis not only affecting Boise State, but universities across the country.
Without a doubt. It is a huge issue. The good news is that young people do not seem to have really hardly any symptoms at all, if at all. And that's good news. And then again, when we're talking about getting into school, my personal belief in the long term in our society is we have no option. I don't even know why we're having this discussion, other than it's fair to hear both sides. I think we have to get into school. I don't think it's reasonable to think that we aren't going to. Kids have got to have that interaction, especially as we head towards adolescence. We're going to lock young boys up at home. We might as well go ahead and give them more meds, because they're going to have such bad ADD, such bad social skills, that we need to go ahead and start building more prisons now. This is a really big problem long term, to that the idea that people can learn from a screen and have effective communication with other human beings when we're adolescents. We don't know how to deal with things, and we need other people besides our parents. And what about those households that have one parent or none, or virtually none? This is becoming an issue to me, that we're just talking about the wrong things. We're talking about a virus in and of itself, without the idea that there are ramifications with whatever choices we make. We've got to be thinking about this on a long-term social basis. The schools are in serious trouble economically without football. You and I have talked about that. But we also have to get these kids back in school at all ages, learning, growing, and really learning to interact.
Our great friend Dave Petzo joining us, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Well, Dr. Fauci says, you know, no, no, no. Fauci says we're still in the first wave, and pretty much Fauci seems to be calling the shots. But back to college athletics, and, you know, now the Major League Baseball, they say they're coming back. The NBA is trying to come back. But collegiate athletics is a little different, because you're dealing with not professionals. Now the president's saying the school's most open in the fall, like Dave Petzo. But athletics is optional. And are you going to really risk contracting something that we still don't know what the long-term side effects are to play a sport? Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I agree with you. And again, it's back to personal choice for the kids. I really think that those who have earned a scholarship to be there in the first place And if you're telling them that, you know, you have to play, I think that's wrong. I think the kids were, there's no fault of theirs. And they're coming in close contact. But for those kids that want to play, I think that they should be allowed to. Again, I understand that we don't know the long-term implications. But I do know what we do know, and that is long-term implications for our society of having people locked up. And that's the only way you're going to kill the virus is we don't move. We saw how New York did, but they didn't move. What did that do? They were on fire. Thousands of people died in New York. So when they didn't let anybody move. So the idea that the virus is not going to continue to move seems crazy to me. But what we do know as a society is when we lock down, and we lock down in particular, children, unbalanced, depressed, however you want to, whatever people that are having issues, they don't do well. They don't do well at all. And I can't imagine how the old people are surviving out there. They don't have their friends to play bridge with. They have no social circle. They probably, you know, many of them have lost a loved one. It's very depressing. And I'm not saying they should be out. They're the folks that are in harm's way. But we don't need another generation of folks that are having social distancing problems.
Sure.
And we're busting out anyway. This disease is not going to wait for you and I to say, oh, it's all clear, so now everybody can come out. So Fauci has been wrong from the beginning. We were going to do this for 15 days. Now it's what, 15 months? This is just, it's a moving target, and I just hope we can reassess it.
Then let me hit you with this one here. Dave Pezzo joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Then why is the government, the president, going along with it if Fauci is wrong? And your thoughts on how our governor, Governor Little, is handling this?
Yeah, well, you know, again, I don't want to second guess everybody because everybody's free to second guess me too. It's not.
Join the club, Dave. It's great to second guess everybody.
Exactly. First of all, I think the president wants us to reopen, and I think he has stepped over the top of Fauci on most of it. It's very clear that Fauci doesn't want people to move, and maybe that's a doctor's prerogative. I don't know. I also know that Fauci has been dead wrong on almost every issue regarding this, and he said it was fine. He's told us flat out everything was fine and we shouldn't be doing it. The president unilaterally decided we are not going to let Chinese fly into America, and Fauci was against that. Everybody was against it. So I think the president is making up his own mind on many issues, although he should be listening to people like Fauci and people who have dissenting points of view, and I think he does a great job of that. So when it comes to the governor, I'm not going to second guess the governor, not because I like the governor or I'm afraid he's going to be mad at me. I think that there's plenty of leadership issues there where I wish he would just say what he feels and not always hand it over to the local folks. I think that the leadership in this country, as you and I have said, is we're missing on the leadership issue. And this is many governors where they don't know what they're doing, but we understand that. People are going to make mistakes. All these things that we're talking about, many of them are hindsight, and so therefore we can say that this is the way it should be. But when you're dealing with people who are dying, who are your responsibility, and you shut it down, you can't look back later and say that was a wrong decision. And so I don't want to jump on the governor. I would if he took us back to stage one, and I think that would be a real problem for us. I don't think it's warranted. The death rate in Idaho is not going up. It's going down, and it's such a tiny amount. It's far more dangerous to walk across the street. So I don't, as far as death is concerned, so I don't think it makes sense for us to do that. But as far as what he's done so far, you know, it's kind of lockstep of what was recommended by the health officials, and I can't disagree with that.
All right, more with Dave Pezzo next. Coming up next, is it time to ban TikTok? TikTok, what is TikTok? Is it tic-tac-toe? No, you won't believe it. We'll talk about the economic ramifications of the latest social media juggernaut with Dave Pezzo. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. So here on KIDO Talk Radio, TikTok. Are you familiar with TikTok?
Yeah, the new Chinese spying machine. Yes, I am.
Well, it's the hottest thing in social media. And we called this a couple months ago because it's based in China. I believe it was something else. The Chinese bought it, renamed it, and it's the hottest thing for young people. And basically, not that they don't already have it, but you give the Chinese access to your phone, you download the app, and they control all the information. Now, Mike Pompeo saying he doesn't want to get ahead of the president, saying we're going to ban it. Now, if you ban it, though, doesn't that just spike the demand for this thing even more?
I think there's a it's a good point. It's kind of like the rebellious thing, and the kids are doing this, so why wouldn't they be rebellious about it, just about anything? But the answer is, I think that they're correct. This administration is taking a tough stance. I hope they have four more years. I mean, I pray they have four more years in order to try to deal with the Chinese, rather than a Joe Biden that isn't going to. It's going to reverse this, because we really are making some headway. We had the strength in the China seas. We're seeing now the world is aware of how bad Huawei is, how bad the Chinese are. It's helpful that we have other partners around the world now that are getting on board. So I think it is correct, even if some kids are going to say, well, I really want this now because it is about to be banned. It's a good idea to continue to push back on the Chinese. They don't want to play right, and that's their choice, I suppose, but it's also our choice to push back on them. So I think that's a great choice that the administration is making, to keep pushing on the Chinese.
Sure, but you take a look at whether or not it's going to be impactful. I don't know how you can ban an app. I mean,
yeah, I don't know either. But you know, however it's done in China, they don't let out Google. You can't Google bad news about the Chinese party. So I'm not sure, Kevin. I don't know how that works. You'll need a tech expert for that. But there are various countries. I'm sure North Korea doesn't get the whole story. I'm sure that America doesn't either. The networks are working for the DNC, so we all know that there's skewed media. But at least here we have options for making choices that they don't in totalitarian regimes. And so I'm assuming we have a way of shutting it down.
Dave Petzo joining us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, KIDO Talk Radio. Dave, what are we looking out for locally?
Yeah, locally. Well, we're going to have to see. You know, locally, it really does depend how, from an economic perspective, how is this going to go? Are we going to allow, again, we're not obviously going to open any more right now, but are we going to pull back even more? That's the real question right now locally. Or are we going to go ahead and we're going to continue to open? I see it all the time. We all do, right? We see people getting together, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's families. And people are just busting out. They're just not going to stay indoors. So I hope that we don't destroy all the rest of the businesses that have at least a lifeline thrown to them by shutting it down. Because if we do, again, we're just right back where we were, and those businesses are not going to come back. So that's what I would look for locally. The other thing I wanted to add real quick, though, on a national basis, Kevin, if I have just a minute here, is to say, look, I think from a national basis, we're opening up, and I would trust the market in its distinction here of saying that, of being optimistic about us getting on top of this virus. The market would not be hitting, as the NASDAQ is, all-time highs, very close to it in the regular market, if it didn't believe that in a few months we're on top of this virus and the economy is booming. Booming meaning we're growing again. It doesn't mean we're back exactly where we are. So it's an important distinction, but the trajectory is accelerating, and the data shows that. And if we don't shut down, and the market's saying we're not going back, we may slow down, but we're not going back. And I think you trust the market on this one. It's not always right, but it most often is. And we wouldn't be seeing people put real money into the market that they can lose if we're going to shut down again, if this virus is out of control. Think about the economics of that. So watch that.
All right. On another point, we've got hospitalizations jump 50% in California. Are you worried?
Hospitalizations I don't like, of course. But to me, the bottom line is, do we have the capacity to take care of them? And the answer so far has been yes. We have more than capacity. And as long as the death rate does not go back up, I'm okay with it. I don't like it. I like it when people are asymptomatic or very little symptoms. And obviously, that's not the case if you're hospitalized. So, but again, great news on all fronts for therapeutics. I'm not worrying, waiting for a vaccine. I'm continuing to think we're going to have good therapeutics. They're getting, they're figuring out how to keep people alive, Kevin. It's just astounding. When people are really in a desperate situation, they're learning how to treat them, and the therapeutics are coming along and helping the doctors make the right decisions as well. So I'm very optimistic at this point.
Dave Pezzo, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. We will catch you.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And do so if you'd like. We'd love to have you. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, the market had another good week, and it's just not supposed to do that. It's not. I mean, it's clearly not supposed to do that. After all, doesn't the market read the newspaper? Doesn't the market watch the news? Yeah, I suppose it's just a bunch of really stupid people that bury their head in the sand and just go, la, 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 I don't hear it, I don't hear it, la, 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 la. Or perhaps it's a group of people, you and I, the world collectively, that put real money behind real corporations, and we're sitting at all-time highs. You know, get this. The NASDAQ is now up over 18% since the beginning of the year. What pandemic? The S&P is down 8% for the year. Yeah, some of the industrials and airlines and things are really hit hard by this. But 8%? That's all you got? Down 8%? But I watch the news. I know what's going on, man. I know stuff. Because I watch the news. That makes me a flipping genius about what the world's going to do. Because what I, you know, what we're really doing is we get funneled to us what we already believe. That Donald Trump is evil and has to be stopped by any means. If we have to shut down everything, we got to make sure kids never go to school again. Destroy the economy so that he can be out of office. It's unbelievable. We're going to talk today a little bit about some of the numbers, because you guys need to understand some of the numbers beneath the screaming headlines of surge in cases, especially in Republican states with complete morons running them. You have to join the left. We shut everything down. I know people die anyway, like they did in New York, like crazy, but we shut it down. We made sure we had no economy at the same time we had bodies piling up. But that's the news every day. Every day. And you get there and you just kind of go, what? What? How can we be up 18% on the NASDAQ? How can the market have almost fully recovered back to all-time highs? Well, fully recovered since the March 23rd bottom? Yes, it has. That's not even possible. The economy's terrible. Don't you know that? And then when we get jobs reports that are better than expected, and then next week they're better expected. Sorry, next week they're better than expected. Every week they're better than expected. And what is the answer? Well, the numbers kind of bounce around a lot, and you know, and they're skewed. They're really, really skewed. The numbers are super skewed. By what? Well, you know, because they're skewed. It's not really recovering that quickly. It can't possibly be recovering that quickly. You know, when people call and are worried about things, instantly, I know what they're watching. I'm serious. It's not like I'm a soothsayer. That's not true. But by what people say, you know, are they watching liberal media or are they watching Fox? What are they watching? It's always evident in what they're saying, especially what they worry about. Always. Always. Isn't that interesting? Fascinating? People that are watching A Fair and Balanced, and yes, I know that's their tagline, but actually studies show they actually are fair and balanced. They do not lean way too far to the right. Now, if you're leaning far to the right because you're right of MSNBC, I suppose they lean far to the right. But the point here is this. It's far more optimistic. It isn't Pollyanna. It's just reporting about what's going on. Yes, Texas is on fire. Yes, the cases are exploding there like never before. Record numbers. Dot, 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 dot. Deaths are going down. Huh? How do you have a record number of cases and deaths are decreasing? Makes no sense. I mean, none. None. But isn't that what it really is? I mean, if we were like saying, nobody leave the house because you could give grandma the flu. Nobody would have left the house any winter in the last whatever a million years. That's not the case. But it's deadly. I know, it's not the flu, blah, blah. I get that. But the point is we're told 15 days flatten the curve. We're told we just need to have some therapeutics, things like that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The cases are exploding. Nobody's dying, but the cases are exploding. And that becomes the news. The market is way smarter than the news. I mean, you just don't put your money, you don't invest pension money, you don't invest endowment money, you don't invest trillions of dollars for no good reason. You do it because you believe that the corporations of the world are going to continue to grow. It's not just this vacuum. It's not a game. It's not a casino game. These are real companies that have real profits, real dividends, real cash flow that people own and decide to make it that they want to own. They're not making a bet. They're owning corporations. This is way different than, well, a pollster thinks that Biden's going to win. What is real money doing? Where are they putting their money? I mean, anybody can say anything. I think that the moon is made of cheese. But that really has no bearing unless I put money in and say, wow, this guy is willing to put $1 billion on the fact that the moon is made of cheese. I got to rethink this. He's either seriously whack or he knows something. Now, collectively, when we seriously are knowing something, meaning we're all putting money in, I wouldn't bet against that. Don't bet against the market. Don't bet against the market. The market's not always right. Not even close. But you know who always is right or wrong? All the pundits of doom and gloom. And they show them again all the time. Every little correction the market has, every big correction, they parade them out. Here they are. And how have they done for people? You can't even count the billions and trillions of dollars that they've destroyed with their incredibly bad advice. This isn't hard. You buy great corporations, you put them away. It's not hard. But it's particularly not hard to take a step back, get away from the screaming box, and body bag count of the endless parade of liberal media. Back away. And look at the real numbers. Yes, 10,000 or whatever it is, people are tested positive in Florida, and death rates continue to decline. I'll have some numbers for you. They're printed every week. All across the United States. So what is it? Is the market stupid? That's a big bet. Always has been a big bet. Don't bet on the market being stupid. That's collective money at work. There are clearly stupid market participants. Some people treat it as a casino. They buy pot stocks. They buy Hertz in bankruptcy. Really? Yeah, there's a good move. That's a genius level understanding of the markets. Chasing vapor. Because I think a hard eight's coming on the next number too. It's so stupid when people talk about what these folks are doing. I don't care what they're doing. Nobody cares what they're doing. It's peanuts. It's tiny amounts of money. It's out chasing them. It's out chasing vapor. They like to gamble, and they apparently need to gamble on pot stocks. And then they lose their money, and they blame Wall Street. That's okay. But it's okay. We all have to have an excuse for why we're stupid. Okay? We all have to have an excuse. I get it. But at the end of the day, that's a small piece, but people talk about, the market's overpriced because people are buying Hertz. Really? Really? Oh, okay. Not because they're buying Apple, that's okay. And Google and Amazon, that's okay. That's all right. But there's a few people over here that are willing to buy Hertz in bankruptcy because once they rented a car from Hertz and that proves the market. That kind of commentary is not helpful. It proves nothing. It proves that no matter how much information is available to people, they will continually ignore it and do dumb things. We do. We do that all the time. Don't discount the market. In the second hour, I'm going to share some amazing numbers with you. I mean, they are amazing. Amazing. And it'll change the way you see, hear, think about the virus. I really believe it. It certainly did mine. We're not heading to the end of the world here. We're not. This too shall pass.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello and welcome. Thank you again for joining us. Time to do so on the lines here. It's 580-KIDO. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling.
Morning, Dave. What's happening?
Hey, we're just enjoying a scorching. We finally have summer, don't we?
Well, for a day anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great year. We can all complain for one day, I guess.
Yeah, we're too soft anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
But if I were you, I wouldn't listen to Lars Larson on your station. If you do, you'll be wearing several masks and hiding in your bed.
I haven't heard that. There's lots of people that feel that way. So I can be wrong.
Well, I mean, as FDR once said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
You know, Jim, that's a good point, and it really is. This is, we all know it's political. But also people react differently. They do. And young and old, you see people that overreact, in my opinion, or they underreact, you know.
Well, I hate fear. I hate irrational fear. Can't stand it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know, but we all have our own irrational fears, too. Quietly in our hearts, right? We have certain fears. But, this is just one that kind of comes out in a way that just can be really amazing. I see people, jogging with a mask. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
But
I heard on the radio once. Now this is, indicating ignorance or not knowing. They were talking about, the Chinese for a long time had been wearing masks, right? And they assumed it had to do with like the virus. No, it had to do with the pollution.
Yeah,
but the pollution
and allergies,
was never mentioned.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, and allergies.
Right, and allergies. But the thing I wanted to mention is we've come, and maybe this is due to social media, maybe this is due to whatever the hell. I mean, people become more aware. But it's like now we, you know, a lot of us want to go forward with the country, you know, and the other people want to go back and correct all the wrongs of history, which can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, anyway, so we come to a crossroads where it's like, you know, the Black Hills of South Dakota, for one thing, you know. Now, the Indians made a mistake in trusting the government. In fact, anybody makes a mistake in trusting the government. There was a contract. There was a treaty until gold was discovered, and then all bets were off.
Right.
So, we enslaved the blacks. We eliminated the Indians. We pretty much enslaved the Chinese to build the railroads. So, anyway, you can't go back and correct all that. But now there's all this, you know, do we go forward or we go back?
Right. And it's true of all nations. There's not been a nation that tried harder to correct the mistakes that we made in the past. And we do. We have. We fought an entire war over it. So I think that the United States is inherently good. And in the end, we will come out of this. And I don't think that any of this really exists, certainly on the level it is, without coronavirus. I think they go hand in hand. People are locked down. They don't have a job. So they go out and protest and steal watches out of stores, you know, in the name of protest, in the name of equality, of course.
Well, I mean, you know, you might call it a perfect storm. It's, you know, I don't know. It's really weird.
It's weird for all of us. This is something that we all have to stop once in a while. And, you know, especially those of us who, you know, are living with somebody else. And you go, hey, if things are, you know, I'm tense, you're tense, or what have you. We all have to do that. Our kids, especially, we have to take a deep breath because they just don't have anything normal in their life anymore. You can't even send them off to play baseball. You know, it's just a very tough situation right now, and it pushes out in a lot of different ways.
Well, you know, one of the biggest things in being human is being able to see another human's face, and we've taken that away.
Well, I agree with you on that. We haven't from a Zoom perspective, but I still think that there's body language. And I don't know what it is, but you can feel somebody when you're with them. You feel the energy, I guess. And I don't mean to sound like we all ought to sit around and smoke a joint, but that's the kind of thing that we really miss as people, is that we just feel energy from other people when we're in a room with them. You don't feel that across a screen, you know?
Nope.
It's something that's really missing, and I think it really hurts our society. I think it makes us angry. I think everybody is really wired up and hot about stuff. They make stuff up, but they get mad, and they, like a dog with a bone, they just grab it. They're not letting go, and by God, we're going to tear a statue down. The United States is terrible, and I don't know anything about all those other systems, but we got to change ours, and it makes no sense. I mean, literally, it's illogical to take the greatest system, the fairest system, the one that has given the lowest people an opportunity to rise more than any other, to tear it down. But that's what those folks want to do.
And that's the problem with the social media, the technology, and all this thing. They don't think. They just react to, you know, it's like somebody posts something, and then it depends on the likes or the dislikes they get on it, whatever. You know, the whole world's gone mad.
I know. That's why I don't post, and I don't like or dislike anybody. So there you go. Jim, thanks for the call. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Obviously, you can hear the music, and we are going to be taking a quick break here and then back with hour number two. I can't wait to share just this ton of amazing data with you. I'm serious. It's just really... It's stuff that comes out every week, and if you like it, I need to have... this is a case where I do need a thumbs up or thumbs down, right? I want to know, you want this kind of data coming at you, because once a week, they update all the numbers. So stick around. We have a quick break here for Fox News. After that, we're going to talk about it. And think about this again. Market at all-time highs. Incredible. Couldn't read that on the front page of any newspaper. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Petso. Money Matters is brought to you by Petso Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by HH & Associates Accounting. We aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. And by Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and yes, thank you for joining us. And of course, as we always tell you, these are my opinions only. And sometimes we're wrong. I know, it happened once. I think it was 83 it happened. Anyway, here's the thing. We aren't here to tell you what to buy or sell, and that's just beyond dumb. It's not like that. That's not the way the markets work. We just want to take a deep breath and think. And think together and grow together, seriously. You know, Kevin Miller and I talk all the time about how it just changes you, meaning me, to be on the radio, to talk about things. It changes the way your brain works. It really does. It changes it, for better and for worse. It's you have to think things through in a different way in order to teach. The complexities of the markets, they are vast. There's no question. But you don't have to be an expert to be rich. But you do have to have peace of mind, be patient, non-emotional. I say that to say this. This past week is not different than the week before or the week before. I'm going to get a call next week, too, from somebody that's really sure the market is going to tank, just like they were sure 2 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. You get it. And they were sure in 09, and they were sure in 11, and they were sure in 13. They were sure when the Fed raised interest rates in 14. All sure. Because all news is bad news all the time. All of the time. And when you can't find peace, you can't take a deep breath, and all you do is as human beings do. I want more information. You bury yourself further, and you get further from the truth. Further from it. You know, you think about that. I do, anyway. This is one of the things that I think about, of people that are, like, heroic, right? It's like they just do the right thing. Like the book Blink. Unbelievably hard decisions. And they're right. And they have to make it. It's all on them. I'm going to decide to do this and it's the right thing. And they go. I mean, they're like cool. This is John Wayne stuff, right? And there are people like that. They're the people everybody turns to instantly. It's like they know who that person in the room is without knowing. If there's a fire, what do we do? Instant leader, boom. They just know who it is. And you think about that as like a pilot, right? Maybe in a war, and it's just like it, or the plane is going down. Now, do we want somebody to be grabbing a manual and like, okay, hold it. Let me check. There's got to be some other stuff here that I haven't quite thought through. Let me see if there's some more information. Let's get on the radio and talk to 10,000 people quickly. Is that going to help? I mean, even if you had time to talk to some other people, does it help to get more information at that point? The answer is no. It's the experience, training to that point that now we're reacting to. What do we do as humans? I don't know what's going on with this virus. I'm going to sit and watch the news 24/7. I'm going to get online 24/7 and get data through a fire hose. And all those places are trying to sell you. They all are. They're selling you the ads because they need your eyeballs. And so the news is like, often really balanced and nice and good, right? You hear the good stuff too, right? Because that's what humans want. We don't want train wrecks. We avert our eyes to train wrecks. No, we don't. It's always the opposite, right? We can't take our eyes off the train wreck. It's just we are responsible for the data flow and where you get your information. Like I said in the first hour, it's like, I know, but what you're worried about, where you get your news. I mean, totally. And I know your sources are great. Mine are great. Everybody, right? I know. We all go gravitate towards what we like. But it is incredible. It's like I'm going to get this call next week. Something along these lines. But sometimes it's so bad that it sticks out in your mind. Most of the time, look, people hire, they don't hire me in a vacuum. They hire me because they know I'm going to try to stand between them and the cliff. If they want to jump off, they can dodge me and they can make it. They're going to do it. It's their money. But they want somebody there to help them at these types of times. And helping isn't, we got the cash, we're going to hedge here, we're going to do it. You hear all that crap out there as people are trying to sell you stuff. They try to pimp you annuities. Why? Fear. That's right, fear. Just fear. It sells because nobody would buy these pieces of garbage if they weren't emotionally terrified. There's no way with all the costs. They'll be like, I think we just get scraped 10% off the top and it'll all work out okay. No, it doesn't. And everybody knows it. But fear, emotion, raw, yeah, scary stuff. Same with the news. We get that too much in us. We do. Very sad. All right, let me tell you what's going on with COVID, okay? I know. No, let me case this first because I'm not Fauci, so I don't have all the licenses to be wrong on almost everything I predict, okay? But all I'm going to do is give you some data because you don't hear this data. Okay, the new daily cases, okay? And the best part of this is 7-day lines, and I can't obviously really show you this, so I'm just going to give you broad numbers, okay? These are the daily cases around the United States. And I know what we ought to be focusing on is to find the bad news, like the overrun hospital somewhere in Houston. You know, because there's only thousands of hospitals in the country that are doing fine. But find the one that's not and run the story over and over and over again as how disastrous this is. If it really is. So we have nominally 50,000 cases a day. Okay? And we have a death rate that's fallen into the low 100s. By the way, just to let you know, many days a few weeks back were thousands of people a day dying. So let me just make sure I understand this, right? The number of cases is exploding in the United States. .. And hardly anybody is dying. You know what I would do? I would say, that isn't bad news. That's amazing news. The world can go on now. Which also means we're also closer to herd immunity, which is some, I don't know, made-up thing that we get to move towards, and nobody really knows how many people have to have it or how many people have had it or whatever, but we're going to get there because every virus dies out. But not this one because we've never had this one before. We don't know. It could come back. Okay, I got all that. But I'm going to just kind of make this giant leap that this isn't like the so different a virus from anything that's ever existed in all of history that it kind of acts like a virus, okay? I'm just not going to go there. But isn't that amazing news? Just seriously. So what we're saying is cases are literally skyrocketing to record levels, and we are back to where we were like in the first part of March when we had no cases, and therefore we had almost no deaths. That's, to me, is like, let's open her up, man. This is nothing to worry about. Now, do we wear masks? Think, hey, that's fine. Go have a different argument. I don't care. That is absolutely irrelevant to me. There were 242 deaths on July 6th. 242, to be precise. Now, they bounce around, so just trust me that the seven-day number is going down towards zero, right? I don't want to just pick on any day, but I have to give you this perspective. That's down 86% from April 20th, the peak. Down 86%. But I thought the news was the cases are spiking. The cases are spiking. It's out of control, particularly in those Republican states in the South that don't know what they're doing, that just want people to die. All right, how about hospitals? Because that's really the deal, right? That's, you know, part two. Fine, they're not dying, Dave, but where they're getting overwhelmed, the ICU beds are terrible and all that good stuff, right? No, sorry. I don't know. I'm guessing there's probably somewhere, you know, let's call it Houston, that there's a hospital that's a little bit, you know, getting near capacity. Not exceeding, but getting close enough to have gnashing of teeth going on outside with the news cameras. I'm guessing there's one. Just because there's a lot of gnashing of teeth going on out there. COVID cases now are at 60% capacity across the United States. By the way, pretty much the same number it's been for the last 3.5 months. Oh, by the way, the ICU capacity, not even close. Not even touching it. Deaths as a share of the United States. Don't worry, I won't go through every one of these. It just goes on and on and on. It's amazing. And also, here's something else I think that people should know and understand as we move forward, because we're moving forward with or without every state. We're moving forward. You see it in the numbers. You see it in the employment numbers, the consumer confidence numbers. You see it on the 4th of July when they say, that's fine, you don't gather with fireworks. We do. And I don't mean in Boise. I don't mean in Spokane where I was. I mean everywhere. Even the red state of California lit up on the 4th of July. People are busting out. People are spending money. They got nowhere to go, nothing to do, and a pile of money sitting in their pocket. They're busting out. We see it in the numbers all the time. And they do. They deny it all the time. Oh, well, this number skewed, that number skewed. It can't really be that good. The market really can't be at all-time highs. Can't possibly be. What is it, run by a bunch of morons? Of course. That's the narrative. Because why? Because they've been wrong. And they hate Trump. We have to take these numbers in context, and I don't pretend to know how this virus is going to go. But you see, I don't pretend to the way Fauci and others do. No, it's not going to be a problem here in the United States. No, of course we shouldn't shut down the airports. I think it's completely unnecessary. It's racist to shut them down. Nope, we don't want to have anybody wear a mask. They're ineffective. Yes, we now need everybody to wear masks. And yes, we need to shut everything down. We need 15 days to slow the curve. No, we need 15 months. We need 15 years. We never wrong. Never, ever wrong. I don't have to be right. The trajectory tells me everything. I don't know when the virus goes away, but the more people that have it that don't die, the closer we get to the end of the virus. To me, this is unbelievably good news that we've figured out how to treat it, that people aren't dying, and we've got tens of thousands of people that are getting it and have gotten it and are done. I don't know where herd immunity is, but we're closer. If, in fact, all I do is I'm just trying to observe, I don't have to know every single flight attendant that has tested positive for COVID. But here's what I do know. that of the thousands of them that there are, they're not dropping like flies. How's that possible when you have hundreds of passengers every day? Hi, hello, welcome, thanks for flying, bye, 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 cough on me, say hello, too close, bump into me, leave your germs all over the plane, and I don't die. I don't get sick. Something's going on. The planes are clean. And I'm not the only guy noticing, I guess it might be safe to travel. It might. And people are traveling. TSA numbers are up, meaning people are going through the TSA to get on planes and finally go see their grandkids. People are talking about, they're angry about, kids are going back to school, period. Don't tell me they're not. I can't take another year. Johnny, 12-year-old Johnny, can't go to 14 years old without having social contact. You might as well put him in the pen now. He can't deal with this. People aren't dropping like flies. What about the Walmart workers? The Albertsons workers? They come in contact with us snotty-nosed people all day long. And they're not dropping like flies. Something's going on. So I know it's busting out everywhere and everybody's got it. And it's the world's worst problem. Why? Because the problem's going away. And that's good news for this president. This is great news for our country. Let's get back to work and get off the streets. That's what's going to happen. And that's good news for everybody, except for the politicians that want this country to die. Understand where we get our news. I don't have to be right that this is getting better fast. The numbers tell you that. The market tells you that. And you don't have to believe it either. You can say collectively, everybody's lost their mind. You're free to make every choice you want. But you're making a big bet when you're betting against the markets, against the data, and most importantly, against history, because we figure stuff out. We always figure stuff out. Until God says that's enough, we keep figuring stuff out. And we keep advancing. This is a bump in the road. And when people take it as more than a bump, they bail on their investments. They never get back in. And I'm going to keep getting these calls. I just know the market's going to go down. When do you get back in? No, you don't have a number, do you? I don't know. I'll get another vision from God of when to get back in. But what are you going to do about the last 8,000 points you missed? Well, market will crash. And then you're going to get in what? Is it down 10? Is that a crash? I mean, how do you define it? Well, I just want to be, you know how it is, right? Well, I just want to be safe. Okay, I got it. Safely losing money every year is not exactly safe. But that's your prerogative. You get to make that choice. But don't pretend when you sit there and bury yourself 24/7 in a fire hose of ill-informed data that you're informed. You're not. There's no clarity of thought. Absolutely none. No clarity of thought. No context to put it in. All you see is somebody screaming for your attention that there's 10,000 cases. Never been higher. Never been worse. Never been this. Never been that. Unbelievable. We're never going to get past this. That's what we hear. 24/7. And that's how we get clarity? No, you don't get clarity that way. So don't stand around and look at the market and go, it can't be that way. It's not right. It is right. Because it's all about the trajectory. It's where we're going. You don't have to be perfect in your assessment of when this virus goes away. Nobody does. But here's what I know. It's going away. And I'm not going to be that guy that says it's going away on November 5th, 4th, because we already know it is going away on November 4th. Whoever wins. It's not a point of discussion anymore. Because it can't hurt Donald Trump anymore. He's in or he's out. But the point is in the real world, we own businesses that are going back to work and have profits, and their trajectory is up. And that's what the market tells you every day, every week. This isn't an argument about wearing masks. It's an argument about the economy and what's going on. That's my point. I don't care about a mask. If I have to wear a mask to see my grandkids, I'll wear a mask. If I have to wear a mask to go to school, I'll wear a mask. Just don't ask me to wear a mask when I'm running down the greenbelt. That seems silly to me. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Get this, ready? Right? Okay. A Stanford doctor, not exactly a right-wing clinic somewhere. Is there such a thing? There isn't. But anyway, Stanford doctor said this. The death rate under 40 for people getting COVID under 45 is almost zero. Your chances of dying under age 45 of COVID are almost zero. Yeah, we got to keep those kids from each other at school. It's terrifying. Just terrifying. Terrifying, I tell you. Terry, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you.
I should call in earlier because I kept coming up with things I wanted to say to you as you were talking along there.
I had a long rant this morning, didn't I?
But I still want to go back to my favorite word, which is aphorism, a short, concise statement of truth and or fact.
Okay.
And then back to the back, my background in social statistics. I hate to admit that, but you have figures lie and liars figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you put so much stuff out there in something like a scattergram, and pretty soon it just becomes a blur. You just got to sit back with your strong personal character, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and not get exercised about it. Say, this is what I know. This is what they're trying to throw at me. Heck, they almost convinced me that the orange man is bad with so much stuff that comes out here.
Right.
But you just have to stand in your own ground and take your good personality, your happy feelings, and carry on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just can't get exercised about all this stuff.
You can't. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that your background of social statistics, which is a mouthful of you understand numbers, especially in a social context.
Oh, okay? No, I can't get past 10 with my boots on half the time.
But you understand statistics and how they work. What's been interesting in this whole COVID thing, what I just quoted all the, or talked about all those numbers, that did, obviously that's distilled from the CDC and all the other reporting agencies, right?
You trust the government, too.
Right, right. But I'll tell you something. This comes from a group of economists and statisticians, not epidemiologists. In other words,
mm-hmm.
this is data distilled. And I hear this all the time. Everybody is like, I'm not allowed to say anything about COVID without first saying, of course, I'm not an epidemiologist, which also really means, of course, I'm not an epidemiologist, so I have a brain, okay? I can actually have common sense and can see the world, okay? Apparently, because the epidemiologists always take a straight line and draw it towards everybody's dead. And they do. And we've seen that, where we don't have any innovation, we don't figure out how to treat people, all those things, which, of course, that's the only real picture. We learn as we go. And what I'm trying to get at is you have a very good background for understanding all of that and stopping when you hear the numbers. Liars, you know, statistics lie and liars use statistics, or however fancy way you said it. Same thing. And what I'm trying to get at is that this is there are so many statistics in economics and the statistic of this or that, and we the jobs number was good, the consumer confidence number was bad, and this number, and it's all moving all the time, and you have to really stop and not go and overreact to any of these single things. It's a big picture, it's a mosaic, and with these folks here, the reason that I have been using their numbers is because they're not in bed with any particular thought process. Just tear out all the numbers.
Well, you came back a while back, I believe, talking about fiduciary responsibility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is who am I responsible for? What am I putting this out for? What am I trying to accomplish? There, a big part of what's going on these days is obfuscation. That's the mission. We want to muddy the waters and confuse everybody so they'll just believe in a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that's very it works. It does. It does work by continuing to beat the drum.
And Goebbels and what was his name? Edward Bernays, the ultimate, the guy that convinced us that breakfast was good, the most important meal of the day. He was a shill for the, I believe it was the bacon industry, farmer or somebody.
That's true. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
But I did have a question on economics with all this other stuff. Is the, like you're talking, the hedge funds and I can't remember the name now, the groups that have money to invest.
Sure.
Is it that we have negative interest rates or almost, and there's no place else to put their money? So they're just, fall back on fiduciary responsibility. They're going where they think there is something to be made.
Yeah.
And that's the last resort kind of thing.
Yeah, in many ways it is. And it's not just last resort, it's the best resort. Right? You see what I'm saying? But what I'm saying in that regard is that money always goes to where it's most welcomed. And right now it's not welcome in real estate. We all can kind of sort of see a slowdown in commercial real estate, right? I mean, let's face it. Nobody's going to go to work anymore, right? Or not nobody, but lots of people are going to work from home.
Right.
Forever now, or part of the year, or we've reassessed how many floors of an office building we need as an attorney firm when our folks can work from home half the time, right?
Or Bezos saying, well, I'm not going to rent anymore or take any more room in Seattle. I'm moving to the suburbs.
Right. Exactly. So we all see that happening. And so you say, we can't go to real estate. And at zero and negative interest rates around the world, no, that's not inviting either. So you're right. There's a lot of invitation within the market as the only place where we're seeing growth. We're seeing trajectories correct, and money will go there, and it was not going to sit in other places. So I always think of it as a bathtub full of water sloshing around corner to corner. Is it going to go into cash? Is it going to go into bonds, into real estate, or into stocks? And right now, I don't know why it looks like the tide is out in all the other areas, and I don't know when it's coming back. So I think that more money will go there. Money supply is exploding. Excuse my COVID cough here.
Yeah, no, it's emphysema. Never mind.
Yeah, but it is. It's one of those things where we just recognize that that there's money supply is exploding out there because people have nothing but money burning a hole in their pocket.
And if so, people were frugal enough, they'd do the first thing is get the heck out of debt. And relax a little bit.
That's true. And some are because they can't keep spending. And hopefully that will continue to the degree that they mend their balance sheets. Let's hope so. Yeah.
Right.
Some people can't be taught.
Let's sponsor a golf tournament.
There's things in my life I can't seem to learn. Right? Okay. But when it comes to money, I wish people would because it really affects their family, the peace within their little unit in this world and in their own head when they get money right.
There you go. Remember that? I think was it you that said just relax.
Yeah, take it easy, man. Take it easy. Life is hard enough.
Oh yeah, you know that's a go work on my first world problems.
That's right, exactly. Terry, thank you for your call.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You have a good day yourself. All right. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. If you want to, we've got plenty of time left. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And again, if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We always prefer phone callers over email. Don't worry. We'll get to those email usually in the week. And also, if you want to email during the week, that's at petsofinancial.com. We've got podcasts. If you miss anything you wanted to catch. And if you guys want, anybody wants this data, happy to forward it to you. It comes from First Trust, by the way. They just break out all the stuff from the CDC and all that. And it was very interesting. The one chart I didn't share, but I basically shortened it with the quote from the doctor. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. The Stanford doctor that said, if you're under 45, your death rate is almost zero. That's a whole lot of people that really have no fear, should have no fear. It doesn't mean they don't, right? Like, to the point. I mean, people are fearful of lots of irrational things. That's true. All right, our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Ken. Ken, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
I have a rather large emergency fund. It's being held in certificates of deposit and lower no-interest savings accounts. In the past, you've mentioned some alternatives to those. Mm-hmm. And I think one was structured notes and some others. I've tried to find how you access structured notes, and I'm not finding that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how you was that one alternative, or was
yeah.
I dreaming, or what?
It is. And I say these things. That was structured notes. That's correct. But structured notes, I was talking mostly in reference to if somebody wants a guarantee. Like you will be told you get market participation and no risk if you buy an equity indexed annuity, right? You know, you've heard that for decades, right? So we all know you don't get market participation, but you also don't have downside. So my whole point with structured notes is I came out and I asked probably about a year and a half ago, I asked TD Ameritrade, and they put me in touch with all the – I mean, there's a million of them, right? It's J.P. Morgan, it's Goldman Sachs. Everybody does these. All the banks do. And then – so they have a whole area of structured notes. And so I simply said, well, tell me, what is it – can I have the full participation of the market and you guarantee that there's no downside risk? And it's FDIC insured. It's not even just an insurance company, right? It's like the whole government backs it up. And so they have these. This led me into this whole area. So I didn't mean to go too far on that, Ken, but that's where we started with structured notes. They're very complex, and some of them aren't as good. Okay? So I would just be careful, and I don't want to use European banks, stuff like that. Now, floating back and saying, can I structure something that might give me 7, 8% over the next year? The answer is yes. They can be called away easily. You still have some downside risk. It's very minimal. You can see statistically what your risk is. And some of them are structured pretty good. But those would be income plays. You have to be careful, and you really can't walk in that world by yourself. I just don't think you can. I just think realistically, that's why the TD Ameritrade Schwab retail client doesn't have those, because they're way too complex. And you get it's an inch-thin document. It's very frightening when you get the document. So I think it's something that, Ken, let's not worry about that. Let's go over into the exchange-traded fund world if you're talking about parking money, parking cash. If that's what you're talking about, emergency fund, and structured notes are not easy to get out of, so you need to have it tied up for a year or two. So let's go back into and talk about like exchange-traded funds, which you can do easily, and you want to get short duration. If you want governments, they have floating rate government, and they're about 1.5 to 2% yields, and they trade every day in billions of dollars. Okay, so it's not like it's illiquid at all. So that's what the area that I would be more focused on, not structured notes for liquid cash. Okay.
Okay.
Exchange traded funds (ETFs).
Exchange traded funds. Okay.
Even money markets are around 1%. It's not good.
Yep.
They're coming down. They're 0.75 probably realistically now.
Yeah.
But they're coming down. But it's better than parking it at zero at the bank.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm not excited about 1% either. But my point is that, I'm not going to give the names because I just feel like it doesn't make sense to do that, because there's plenty of them out there. But there's lots and lots of them that are literally – $4, $8, $10 billion funds out there that exchange traded funds that have short duration, meaning 3 months. Sometimes they'll go down to 2, maybe 4 months at the most. So the price hardly ever changes, and they're yielding 2%.
Okay. That helps a lot. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome, Ken. You have a good day.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to who was next? Oh, Keith. Keith, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thanks for what you do. My question is, what are the tax ramifications and legalities of swapping a traditional IRA to a Roth?
You pay taxes, Keith.
I'm 71. So.
Okay. I have no issue if you're in a reasonably low tax bracket or for, let's call it, estate planning reasons. You want to tax at your level rather than your heirs.
And also, but what you really want to do is you want to talk to your accountant, or if you are your accountant, then you go ahead and run the models, if you will. You're simply going to say this. Let's just use round numbers, because you can obviously change anything you want. But the right number to take out and convert this year, for example, Keith, may not be all of it. It may not be half of it. It may not be right. You're looking for the right number that maybe doesn't bump it into too high a tax bracket, because as you do it, you have to pay taxes on it. So let's say you've got $100,000 in an IRA, and with all of your other income, it looks to you like you maybe should take out another 25, or could, and it's only going to be taxed, let's say, at 15% Fed and add some for the state, so 20%. You think that's fair? Then go ahead. But if you take more, you might bump yourself into a higher tax bracket. So do it proportionally. It's not all or none, unless there's an estate tax reason, estate reason why you are wanting to do that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
But the tax ramifications, did I answer your question? You're going to be taxed as you move it. No penalties, but you're going to be taxed ordinary income.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure you can still do it. So.
Perfectly. You sure can, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You do. Bye.
Bye. And let's go to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. You made comments in the past about value versus growth funds. First question would be, what causes that value cycle, or what causes a growth cycle? And you said you think we're still going to be in growth for a period of time. Can you make comments about that? Then I have a follow-up on that.
Sure, Bob. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, poke holes at it. This is just a question. Actually, this gets into the whole sitting back and thinking about things and how I've changed over the years. So value is where I cut my teeth. Because why? Because all the great investors from Warren Buffett, John Templeton, who, you know, I read everything that John Templeton wrote, and then read it again, right? Peter Lynch, Michael Price, they're all value investors, because that's back in the day, that was what the great investors did. They found great value at low prices, had patience, and they came back. The world shifted somewhat. Now, I'm not saying that value can't be redefined, but I think it is being redefined. Let me rephrase that. It is being redefined to say that you have to have innovation. You can't just buy something because it's cheap, because it may be cheap because it's going out of business, right? And that's what we call value traps. So over time, the value has evolved, and it's not quite what it was before. But really now, we're talking about 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, 20 year, are all showing growth, outperforming value. As we basically, how is that defined? You take the S&P 500, which is really 450 stocks, but let's call it 500. 250 go in one bucket, 250 go in the other. That's how they define it. And managers are in that particular space. But in particular, when you get in a period like we are now, where innovation is accelerating, growth has been its favorite. That's why I have been leaning for a very high number of years now, more towards the growth side. And all I have to do is look at my portfolio of Apple and Google and stuff like that, right? You know, Amazon, where you're going, are you kidding me? You know, you put $20,000 in, it's worth a couple hundred. This is ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? These stocks have just been amazing. And so cutting them short and not owning the great companies has been a lesson in my life. So I always talk about that, because I think it needs to be talked about more, is buying and owning the great corporations. But all of them are innovators now. And in the past, we had, you know, General Electric, right? We even had some autos that were one of the biggest, you know, names out there, the biggest cap companies. Exxon, they're not anymore. These are tiny companies compared to Amazon, Google, and Apple. So the world has shifted, and I think we need to shift with it. I don't think there's a value cycle that and growth in the way it used to be. And I really wouldn't. So today, it's just more like you find a good manager that finds value. They may talk about it and say, I know a value manager that for years made the case that Amazon was an unbelievable value. Boy, was he right. That was Bill Miller, famous value manager. And he made the case that Amazon was a tremendous value. And boy, did he make billions for his shareholders on that call alone.
So when you look at your actual selection or choice of funds, if we just kind of look at a broad section, we just throw out some numbers. Say the value funds are at minus 5, the blend is at 0, and the growth is at 5, whether it's domestic or international. Do you start leaning and dollar cost averaging more toward the growth? Because that's quite a difference when you look at a minus 5 or minus 10 compared to a plus 10.
Oh, it's
that's
a
the
huge difference.
I've seen with looking at.
Have you looked at the S&P the last year? It's unbelievable, really. You have the S&P growth is up like, you know, 25%, and you have a negative 10. It's a 30% differential. It's ridiculous. And so if
you're
dollar cost averaging, it's a great.
You can't time. So
no.
Where are we at?
You
stay with the blend, the pure S&P. Where do you go?
Yeah, for me, I want to lean towards the growth side. But what I do with that is I really want innovation that I don't understand. So I will always own some tech funds because I don't have any idea what little company Google needs to buy, right? What little company Apple's going to buy?
Smaller, middle?
I want
smaller or medium?
Well, I'm going to leave that to the manager. They can own Apple and Google and stuff, okay?
Okay.
All right? But we're going to have to. But the point there here is this. I don't mind owning the big companies, but we also have to have managers picking the innovators out there, all right? That's my point with that, on that side. On the other side, which is going to lean me towards growth. Anyway, but you know, I don't have any problem with owning some value. At this point in time, Bob, I don't have any problem with you dollar cost averaging into the dog of the day, which is value, okay? So dollar cost average where the values are great, by monthly doing that, you're not betting the farm that it turns around tomorrow. You're actually hoping it doesn't turn around tomorrow as you're accumulating a position, okay? We got to go.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't understand, Kevin. Okay, thank you. All right. Oh, the kid. We got to get the kid on. Sorry. Okay, got it. Chris.
Hey, this isn't a kid. I have my granddaughter.
Oh.
I'll call you. I'm driving. I don't want to get arrested in Boise.
All right.
I'm still doing it.
I'm sorry. I've got about 40 seconds, so go.
Okay, two quick ones.
Yes.
Your thing with Fauci is frustrating because he's a classic bureaucrat that doesn't want to get off the stage because then he'd be unimportant anymore.
Correct.
So he's got to keep making a point to stay on the stage. Albertson stock, you probably talked about it 100 times, but I didn't hear it. What do you think?
Okay, I've not talked about it 100 times. I think it's a very indebted company, and my answer is really simple, okay? Thank you for the call. It is, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful with it because it's a super indebted company. I think $8 billion, I think that's the right number, in debt. That's just a huge number, and anybody can buy their groceries anywhere, delivered anywhere from a warehouse. Amazon, everybody is bigger than they are. Be careful. At the same time, they're doing it right, and same-store sales are improving, and the stock is cheap. So I that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying go buy, but it is a good value at this price. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks again for tuning in.